I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie.
And during our marriage, we have dealt with an electrocution, a brain tumor, brain surgery.
Then doctors telling us that children were not in our future, followed by miscarriage, and then Kevin's cancer diagnosis.
However, today, we live a life completely healed and restored with three healthy children who doctors said were not possible. And we're here to tell stories that inspire, give hope, and brighten your day. Welcome to
Tell Us a Good Story.
This episode is being presented to you by Storyside Church, where your story matters. At Storyside Church, they believe God always writes a good story.
You can join them for church online each Sunday morning on their Facebook page or watch their entire library of prior services on their YouTube channel, Storyside Church.
All right, Steph.
You've already had to stop me from talking to her. You've already kind of like cut me off.
I was like, pause, let's get to that.
Here. But then you did it too, because you went to start talking to her and made you like stop too.
That is true. That is true. All right, friends, our next guest is a two-time Olympic softball gold medalist and one of the most decorated players in softball history. In addition to her playing career, she has also worked as an orthopedic surgeon and is currently the head coach at Liberty University. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Tell Us a Good Story, Coach Dot Richardson.
Coach Dot Richardson!
Thank you guys for having me. It's great to be here.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, first of all, what do people call you? What should we call you? Coach? Coach Dot, Coach Richardson,
Dr.
Richardson, Dr. Dot. Like, what? There's so many names we could go by for you.
Well, Dot is fine.
Where did you get Dot?
Well, my official name is Dorothy. So, you know, you'll hear my husband or my family, they're saying Dorothy. But my assistants will call me Dorothy when they want my attention. But the kids, you know, they're calling me Coachy, recruits Coach Dot. Coach Richardson's pretty formal. But anyway, just call me a friend.
So where did Dot come from?
Well, my father's mom is named Dorothy, and the short name for Dorothy is Dot, D-O-T. And I always went by Dorothy until about the second grade. I heard Dot for the first time, and I was like, that's not my name. And then when I started playing softball, Dorothy was a little too long, and D-O-T was enough. Department of Transportation, .com. Became a very popular name.
I mean, it's super sporty too.
It is.
Right?
It is true.
It's the perfect sport name.
I don't know about perfect, but.
Well, thank you for saying yes to us. And you are so kind, by the way, because Steph, I was reaching out to Coach here and trying to get a date to schedule this conversation. And we talked about September 8th, and she said, I will make myself available on the 8th, but that's my anniversary. And I was blown away how nice you were that you were going to offer that up for us. I was like, no, let's not do this.
No.
But then I thought of you, you probably would intentionally do that.
Totally would.
Because I'd be like, what do you want to do? I'm busy.
I got plans. I got plans, babe. I love you so much.
Bob and I, 22 years.
Congratulations. So where did you meet Bob?
Softball, of course.
I was going to say
softball field, probably.
Yeah, his side of the story was his dad went to take us to a Ray Vestas Breakettes game in Stratford, Connecticut. And the funny thing about it was I didn't know him. He didn't know me. He was just watching the game. He goes, wow, who's that loudmouth shortstop over there? Next thing you know, years later, he married me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay, so your husband, Bob, though, he's also a coach. And he's had quite the coaching career himself.
Yes, and he has retired from coaching. But
okay.
He started FCA softball and
Fellowship of Christian Athletes,
found the Lord and just dove right in and started the Fellowship of Christian Athletes softball ministry. Okay. Then he started coaching with me here at Liberty again. He started coaching.
And he did.
After about four or five years, he was like, it's time for me to move on and you guys get going. And there we are.
Okay.
No,
okay.
No.
That's a follow-up question right there. Do you have any tips on coaching with your spouse? Because Steph and I coached a T-ball team together. And here's what happened, Coach. I'll just go ahead and share the story with you, okay?
All right.
So Steph's father and brother-in-law and I, we were going to coach our daughter's T-ball team.
And nephews.
This was, what, 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. 3 years ago. And so I'm the assistant coach and show up the first game, and all of a sudden Steph and her sister, my sister-in-law, just run out to coach first and third base.
We're dressed. We have coach's clothes on. We got the hat. We were ready.
I'm like, now you have matching shirts. I didn't think you ladies were going to be coaching. So then I got relegated to the all-time bench coach. So these ladies are on first and third base, and I'm yelling at kids to stop climbing the fence and squirting water at each other. And so was not what I had initially signed up for.
No.
Not at all.
We had the best time, though. My sister and I loved it.
So do you have any tips on coaching with your spouse? How does that go?
It is not easy. However, I think that whatever we do, we should love it, right? And enjoy it. And it's my big thing is with our staff is to have fun. And for Bob, I think one of the things with him is he had a lot of fun doing it. And he just was like, he felt a calling to be doing something else. And it also opened the door for the current coaches that I have. But I thought it was great coaching together.
Okay. So can you share with Steph the story of when you were a child, how you were asked to play on the Little League team, which then you started playing softball? Can you share that story? Because that's fascinating.
Well, when I was little, I knew God gave me talent in athletics. I knew it because I loved it so much. It just came very easily to me. Like, girls at the time were not allowed to play organized sports. But the boys didn't have a problem with me because they picked me up first for pickup games. I was selected first over my, 3 years older brother and my 1 year younger brother. I was picked first. And I just loved all the sports, you name it. It was soccer, baseball, basketball, loved them all. But I could not play any organized sports because I'm a girl. So I would go to bed at night and I just, as I said my prayers, I'd ask the Lord, why did you give me so much talent with no opportunity? I was like an athlete without, a team. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you the most frustrating thing in life is to have been given gifts and not have the opportunity to express those gifts. And next thing you know, my brother gets a brand new catcher's glove. And he knew who had the fastest fastball. So he asked me to break in his new catcher's mitt right before a Little League game. So as I'm firing that ball, I'm winding up and I'm firing fastballs, to break that mitt in. I mean, I'm throwing as hard as I can. And it was right before his Little League game. So next thing you know, the game gets over and one of the coaches comes over around the bleachers and says, hey, you got a great arm. How would you like to play on my Little League baseball team? Yes. My prayers were answered, right? I mean, I'm going to play Little League and I'm going to become a Major League Baseball pitcher. This is it. This is God's plan for me. This is what's going to happen. And then in practically the same breath, he said, well, we're going to have to cut your hair really short and give you a boy's name. We're going to call you Bob. Mm. So for me to have played a sport that I not only loved, but was good at, I would have disguised myself as a boy. And I looked at him and I said, sir, thank you, but no, thank you. If I have to hide who I am, I just don't feel it's right. So dejected a little bit, but this has been my life to this point, a player without a team, and walked over and saw a friend of mine, Sunday Brown. And she wanted to play baseball catch. And I was like, yeah, let's go. And so we went into deep right field of this huge field. And I knew it wasn't baseball because it didn't have a grass infield, right? And we're playing catch 30 minutes later from when the Little League coach had told me that I'd have to disguise myself as a boy. This other coach comes up and he says, wow, you got a good arm. Do you have a minute to talk to the head coach? And I was like, sure. And my first thought was deja vu, right? And as I'm walking from right field to the first baseman, I look on the infield and no longer were there boys there, there were women. And as they rounded home plate heading to third, out from the third base dugout came the head coach. It wasn't a man, it was a woman. And this had surprised me at this point in my life. And she said, have you ever played softball? And I was like, no, what is it? Oh, it's just like baseball. The ball's just a little bigger. Get on third base, take a few ground balls. And I'm telling you too. When I was taking those ground balls, I just felt like I belong. It just felt right. And she called me over and she said, how would you like to be on my fast pitch softball team? And I was like, yes. And then she goes, well, how old are you anyway? And when I told her I was 10 years old, she almost died. The average age is 22.
What?
So we had to go and talk to mom and dad. And it was interesting that the coach, Carol was her name, the coaching staff brought me to our house, which was probably a mile down the road. And mom and dad said, yes, I could play. And that's how I discovered softball, or softball discovered me. And I started as a leadoff batter, starting third baseman. But I always look back at that story, what is the Lord telling us? Like, what is the lesson? And for me, it became very clear. Number one is I know that God has a sense of humor. Because I married a Bob.
Oh, that's right.
That's weird.
But the other one, and the more serious, is that we don't have to hide who we are. Mm-hmm. God has made us. He's made us in his image. And he has a plan for us. And that plan is for us to prosper. And it has a plan that exceeds more than what we could possibly imagine.
All right, Steph, I'm going to test you again here. What is your favorite book of all time?
Obviously, it's the Bible, Kevin.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Very good. This time you didn't say the book we wrote called You Met Her Where.
But it's still a really good book.
That is true.
And it would make a great gift for friends or relatives on their birthday or for Christmas.
Friends, you can order your copy of our book titled You Met Her Where at kevinandsteph.com. And we will make sure to personally sign a copy for you or whoever you want.
And as always, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story. Okay, Coach, I got a question for you. Sure. Your faith is very obvious.
Yes.
But has your faith ever been tested?
Oh, without a doubt. And in fact, that's what makes it stronger. The Lord said through our weaknesses, it shows how strong that He is. There have been times in my life that I've been like, Lord, I can't solve this. I'm giving it to You. And when I have done that, the vision becomes so clear of what I'm to do. It's just been remarkable. And so for me, it became very much like a lot of us. Satan loves us to be busy. And for me, you know, I'd always look at 4-year increments, if you would, which it's funny that the 4 years, but it was like, you know, whether you're going through high school and then college and you got the Olympics and the Pan American Games and the World Championships and medical school. I always looked at 4, but the reality is I really started getting solid in my faith, the older that I got, and also through the trials that you talked about. I mean, one of them very clearly, you guys, is I walk into the CEO's office. I've been working for 12 years, executive of a hospital and running a national training center. And I sit down and excited to look about the profits and losses and how good we're doing. And he said, well, here's your 6-month termination notice. You have 6 months to form a not-for-profit. We're going to give the softball facility to that not-for-profit. And, you know, we're going to give it to you. And so I was like, here I thought I was going to retire. You know, it's like, okay, what's going on? But instantly, you guys, I would say within 2 seconds, I was like, okay, God, what do you have in store? And that's where right away I was asked to run for mayor, county commissioner, U.S. Senate for the state of Florida. And I knew God wanted me in politics. So I gave it to Him. All right, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm all in. Just make it perfectly clear. The next morning, I get a phone call from the athletic director of Liberty University, the largest Christian university in the world, and is asking me to coach softball. And at the end of the conversation, I said, sir, you may not realize this. I'm humbled by this opportunity, but I have never head coached in college before. And he said, we realize that, but we feel the Lord is leading us to you. And then you have your husband saying, we've got to go. The Lord is calling us. So it was a long answer, but I can tell you that being here at Liberty, it's more than coaching softball. It's helping my salvation and work to glorify the Lord and impacting these young girls' lives for His kingdom.
Steph, what is one of the most asked questions we get about Tell Us a Good Story?
Do I really get that excited?
Besides that one.
Oh, how do we get all these incredible guests?
Correct. Yes. And some of our best conversations have been with guests who our listeners have reached out to us and said, you should talk to this person. To name just a few, Nick Vujicic, Coach Tom Ryan, Carol Matika were all recommendations from our listeners.
So if there's someone you would like us to interview and think they might be a great fit for Tell Us a Good Story, please let us know at kevinandsteph.com. You don't even have to personally know them.
True, but do me a favor, before you submit their names, please make sure they are still alive. That has actually happened, and it is super hard for me to find their contact information.
But regardless, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
Coach Dot's playing career remains one of the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. She was a 5-time All-American as a player. She earned AIAW All-American honors at Western Illinois before she transferred to UCLA.
Okay,
so she was recognized as All-American both 1 year by the NCAA and this other organization.
Wow.
So then she was part of the first ever UCLA Bruins national championship team. And this is wild. She was named the NCAA Player of the Decade in the 1980s. So, Dot, what do you get for that honor? Please tell me you get more than her certificate or something.
Bragging rights.
What happens with that?
You never do things for the accolades, right? I mean, those things just come because you have a passion for it. But it's surreal when you think about it, because it made me feel really old, you know, like player of the decade for the 80s. When I say the 80s and I look and I go, oh my gosh, these kids weren't even born until 2005 or 10. but it, what an honor.
Yeah.
Really, what an honor. And it's really humbling.
How did they tell you that you got it?
Well, it was a big announcement. The NCAA player of the decade for the 90s, Lisa Fernandez.
Uh-huh.
The NCAA player for the 2000-2010, Natasha Watley. All three of us were at UCLA. I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
And we won the first, not just the first national championship when I was there for UCLA, but the first ever NCAA championship ever offered to women.
Wow.
So where do you keep all this stuff? Do you have like a museum in your house of like everything you've won and like the gold medals and everything? Where do you keep all that?
A lot of it is in storage actually right now. So it's kind of my husband's like, okay, we can't put all this stuff in our house. In fact, if I look around here, I try and tell people I'm not stuck on myself really. but I look around and, you know, I get a Hall of Fame plaque and, you know, behind me, I guess right over here is the first ever fast pitch softball poster. And I look at that and crack up because the shorts are those Russell shorts, yes. Guy shorts, you know, and I'm like, oh man, just amazing. The Golden Glove Award and just a lot of history that if a person comes in, I'm able to at least show them it, but it's kind of funny. It's all here.
Out of all of the awards that you've ever received, which one means the most to you?
When I was in eighth grade, they started having girls sports. So in seventh grade, I was a part of the boys track team. That was like the only thing that really girls could kind of do.
Okay.
So in eighth grade, they started girl sports and I played them all. I volleyball and basketball and softball. I mean, I was just like in track. I mean, when you're denied something and you get a chance to do it, you dive in. And in ninth grade, again, played them all. And we had an awards banquet. I'm sitting there and in front of me, most valuable player of volleyball, most valuable player award of basketball, most valuable player of softball, most valuable of track team. And then the announcement was what made. And the announcement was the best athlete of the year. And they gave it to me. It was the first time ever that a trophy of athlete of the year was given to a girl. And it was really interesting that, you know, the principal had elected to give it to me as opposed to a boy. And I remember some of the dads, you know, the moms, just how shocked they were that it didn't go to a boy. But one of the biggest moments, you guys, was after we had captured the gold medal. It was just a frenzy and excitement. We're in the United States in Columbus, Georgia, right? And you looked around and security guards were covering the infield and the outfield to make sure no fans were jumping over, right? And I looked to the left and I saw a boy and a girl standing side by side, reaching over the railing to try to reach out to me in a celebration, right, of the accomplishment of us winning the first ever Olympic gold medal in our sport. And man, I just had a picture. I could see it right now. I took a snapshot of a boy and a girl standing side by side, reaching out in celebration of the athletic achievement. Didn't matter what gender.
Right.
Right. So when you hear my story from Little League pitching, going to have to disguise you as a boy, to where all of a sudden the Olympics in 96, they call it the Olympics of Title IX, was one of those things where it's almost as though we've gotten like we have now, where you can enjoy sports no matter whether your son or your daughter's playing, right? Whether mm-hmm. a male or female are playing. And those are big moments that you are breaking ground. You know, you're raising the bar in the ceiling.
Okay. So speaking of gold medals, Coach, in mm-hmm. addition, Steph, to winning 5 gold medals at the Pan Am Games and Women's World Championship, Coach finally got the opportunity at the age of 34 to play in the Olympics. She was captain of the team, mm-hmm. had the first American hit in Olympic history, scored the first run in Olympic history, and hit the game-winning home run in the gold medal game against China. But here's what's even crazier. At the time, Coach had been pursuing a 5-year residency in orthopedic surgery. So, Coach,
oh my gosh,
can you share the story with Steph of how you actually secretively tried out for the Olympic team?
Well, first, I wouldn't say I was a captain. There were no captains, but just happened to be probably, you know, one of the leaders, I'd like to think.
Okay.
But the day I would find out where I'd be for the next 5 years of my life is called match day in medical school. And that is when they announced softball in the Olympics for the first time in Olympic history. And I had to hand over this piece of paper to this receptionist to find out where I would match for an orthopedic residency program. Who knows where, if I would match at all, where it would be. And the announcement is we're going to be in the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta. I did not even want to let go of that piece of paper. You talk about being torn, like orthopedic surgery, your childhood dream of Olympic gold. And I just knew the dream wasn't going to come true. It's like, there's just no way I want to give up, become an orthopedic surgeon. Not easy to get into, right? So I matched, and this is, again, God's hand. I matched at USC in Southern California, one of the largest orthopedic residency programs in the country. And I secretively tried out. See, I like don't give up easy, right? So I found out that I could take a certain month for vacation. And I would coordinate that month of vacation when I'd have these tryouts for the national team. And I never forget, I'm looking at it right over there. I just flew, got on a plane, and I flew to St. Louis, and we had a tryout. And all of a sudden, I come back, and there's a buzz in the hospital. Like, all of my fellow colleagues, right, residents, they're talking to each other. And I'm like, what's up? And they show me Sports Illustrated. I'm in the people section, which was like the centerfold of Sports Illustrated. And the guys love to read Sports Illustrated. So the secret was out. And this is what I'm talking about. See, we can never do these things on our own. And all of these guys were like, you got to go for it. How can I help you? What can I do? You got to go for the Olympics. Then I get called into Dr. Pat Zaka's office, and he's a chairman, and he sits me down. And he says, Dot, the board has elected to give you a 1 year leave of absence to go for your childhood dream of Olympic gold. And are you ready for this? A orthopedic surgery program had disbanded out of Tampa, and USC orthopedic residency program got one of those residents. And it happened to be in my year. So my class had 13 residents, so that when I left, there was 12. And nobody had to pick up any extra slack because I was going to the Olympic Games. And I just smile because it was meant to be. You know, you can read in the Bible, Jeremiah 29:11, you know, yes, all about, you know, God has plans for us better than we've ever thought possible. But the thing is, for those that seek him, right? And I'm just like, God, your will be done. And I was willing to give it up. And God said, no, you're going to experience it. And it was really about just opening the door of opportunities for young girls to be able to dream big when everyone else says it's not possible, or you have to disguise who you are, right? And it's never going to be for you. But yet you just believe because you know God has given you this gift. And when you thought it could never be possible, it's like, oh no, I'm going to put you on that podium. But you're going to be on that podium to remember, look at me, I'm 5'4", nothing special, just living the dream, you know. And whoever would have thought that I would hit the first home run in Olympic history, I can promise you they didn't think it was going to be me. But I have to admit, as a leadoff batter, I did have the first shot at it. But my first at bat, it happened the way it should have. I got a base hit up the middle. And was bunted over, and Fernandez gets up, gets a base hit to right field, and hits me in for the first RBI. And in the Olympic history, is about teamwork, right?
Right.
Just like you two, your team, and you're together just impacting others and let them know that life's not easy. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. We're right. Overcomers.
If you like what you hear, please tell someone about us. As soon as this episode is over, go tell your spouse, your closest friend, a parent, a coworker, or share one of our posts on social media.
However, if you don't like what you're hearing, please do not.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody.
Just disregard this message.
Don't worry about
it. Forget about us.
Yep.
Go on with your merry day.
And to get more information about us or our entire catalog of episodes, be sure to check us out at kevinandsteph.com. Thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
So, can you tell us more about Liberty University? Because when I look at the social media stuff, this looks like the best church camp ever, this college, right? So can you tell us about Liberty and your sophomore program?
Well, we are the largest Christian university in the world, or one of them. It goes back and forth based on, you know, obviously online. We have about 120,000, 130,000 people, students throughout the world. And on campus, we're running close to 17,000 now. But it's explained with our mantra, you know, our motto, training champions for Christ. And it's one of those things where I don't know how to explain it. Like when you get here, it's the facilities are gorgeous. It's a very young campus established in 1971. It's nestled in the Blue Ridge Mountains. It's spectacular views. And it's one of those things, you're walking down the street, you know, the sidewalks, and you hear contemporary Christian music. I just had a recruit and I was in the cafeteria and you're hearing Christian music, glorifying the Lord. And it's just very unique and it's very special. And it's just one of the things, our commitment is to keep it Christ-centered. Because you've seen Harvard was established by faith, a lot of other, you know, universities and have come far from it. And it's one of the things that, you know, we just don't want that to happen here. And so for the softball program, when I first got here, we had a rec field on South Campus and our office was a double wide trailer, which now I could probably fit four of them in what we have upstairs here. And we're 276 in the country at the time out of 296. So there's only 20 worst teams in the country. And when we started, you know, the program here, you know, under our tenure, and guess what, you guys, God is faithful. The highest we've been ranked is 11th in the country. We finished this year 25th in the country, which we've done two times now. This past season, we beat Alabama, Clemson, UCLA. We have a saying at Liberty Now, rise with us. You know, we're just rising to be the best we can be with the gifts God's given us to give him the glory doing it. And it's just unique to see just how we can boldly share our faith. And, you know, I had a player that came into my office and I said, you doing okay? And it was a freshman. And I thought she was going to say, I miss home, things like that. But the reality is she said, you know, coach, who is this God that everybody's talking about? Now, when I recruit all of our kids, they know this is a Christian university, right? And my response to her is when she said, I don't know who this God is. I said, well, he knows you. And I have seen transformation happen, you know, with these youngsters. And I just feel it's more than just coaching. It's being a part of a sport that I have loved, you know, from 10 years of age on and traveled the whole world representing our country. But really, what's it about? Because I've had my time. How can I have a servant heart and my coaching staff to serve these young women, to help them realize, you know, how special they are and how much God loves them?
Well, coach, this looks like a heck of a lot more fun than working as an orthopedic surgeon.
I gotta admit. It's a lot more freedom, that's for sure.
Here's the thing, girl. Your college athletes right now, when they are like whining, like, I'm so overwhelmed, oh, I'm so stressed.
You have no clue.
Like, you know what, guys? Let me tell you a story.
Trying to go to medical school and do this, ladies.
Like, they can't whine to you.
I would love to say that sometimes, but I realize, okay, it's not about me, but yes.
You might just want to throw it in there because they're like, sorry, coach. You're right.
Well, listeners, for more information about Coach, you can go to her Facebook page at dr.usa1. And you can also get all the information on her softball team at Liberty University's website. And we'll put those links in our show notes so you can click on it and go right to those pages. So, Coach,
thank you so much.
Guys are cracking me up.
A couple months ago, Steph's father sent me a text and said, hey, you should reach out to Coach Dot Richardson. She is not only a coach at Liberty, but she's also a doctor. And I remember saying, that doesn't sound right. And I just remember thinking, like, that can't be. That doesn't. And I'm sure she, you know, built an orphanage in Haiti and probably wells in Africa as well. But I looked you up and I was like, huh, I'm wrong again. So just amazing, Coach, what you've done, what you've accomplished. And thank you again for saying yes to us.
Well, thank you guys for thinking of me, really, and sharing memories. So keep an eye on what we're doing here at Liberty. And I just hope everyone is encouraged to really answer the biggest question of all. Does God exist or not? You seek the answers. You're going to find the truth, right? Just know that God's crazy about you. And he loves us so much. Mm-hmm. But I'm living the dream, you guys, and just so blessed to be a part of it. I just thank you so much. And I wish everybody just God bless you today and always.
Friends, thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Us a Good Story.
For additional content and longer episodes, you can go to our website at kevinandsteph.com or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
And don't forget, you can catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. right here on the AM/FM 24/7 network. thank you for listening to
Tell Us a Good Story.